On va commencer avec la communication de Professor Chirolo Muzio. Everyone knows about him. He did his PhD in the Geneva University on the iconography of Shiva in Central Asia. Now he is Associate Professor of Indian and Central Asian Archaeology and Art History in the Institute of Oriental Studies in Sapienza University in Rome. He was the director of the Uzbek-Italian Archaeological Mission in Bukhara Oasis from 1995 to 2010. Yes, I know you have to be very careful about it. Member. And then, I mean, his main field of scientific interest is Central Asian iconography, and also I read with great interest some of your articles on the evidence on Sogdian paintings from Kulak in Bukhara Oasis, and also Skanda and the mothers in Khotan Buddhist paintings, and your recent book on the Central Asian archaeology, which is a masterpiece. Yes.
Thank you very much for this undeserved introduction. Good morning. Allora, il questo lo posso tenere su? Okay, I'll do that. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, Rawak is here. In this map, it seems in the middle of nothing. We are in the Xinjiang, which is Eastern Central Asia, or Chinese Central Asia, as you prefer. Rawak is about 40 kilometers northeast of Khotan city. We are in the Khotan oasis. And it is reckoned a major Buddhist site on the southern track of the so-called Silk Road. It was investigated by Orelstein in 1901 and 1906, who published the results of his work in 1907 in the book Ancient Khotan. Further diggings were carried out by Emil Trinkler in 1928. His fieldwork at Rawak, as well as in other sites of the area, were published in 1974 by Gerd Grop. After Trinkler's expedition, no further archaeological activities took place in the site. Therefore, Stein's and Grop's publications are the only first-hand sources at our disposal. Apart from Stein's and Grop's reports, the Rawak stupa and the sculptures it hosted are mentioned in a number of publications, often in passing. The only major attempt to propose an updated analysis of the site and its sculptures being the one made by Marilyn Rhee in the first volume of her trilogy on early Buddhist art in Central Asia and China in 1999. There is also an essay I couldn't read, dedicated to Rawak by a Korean scholar, Jim Jong-ae, who had formulated the same chronology, later restated by Marilyn Rhee. In spite of being the most valuable effort made in the last decades, Marilyn Rhee's interpretation of Rawak leads, in my opinion, to unconvincing results as far as the chronology or in broader terms art historical contextualization of the site. The aim of this paper is to share some reflections that may help situate Rawak in a more appropriate art historical and chronological context. But first, let us see what Rawak looks like, a description of the site. The Rawak Vihara is a large rectangular, almost square enclosure, delimited by a mud brick wall measuring 43 meters, with its corners oriented to the cardinal points, and with an entrance in the middle of each side, which is not visible. This is Stein's map, and he thought there was only one entrance on the south side. It hosts a monumental stupa with a base measuring 32 meters approximately, which reproduces a slightly more sophisticated version of the so-called cruciform plan, which consists of a square three-tier base with a flight of steps in the center of each side. In addition, in this case, there is a rectangular projection. I don't know if I can... Can you see? Yes, a rectangular projection here and here, flanking each stairway. Furthermore, the stairways cross the three tiers, ascending up to the dome level, which is, in the case of Rawak is not preserved. These two features connote a specific type of stupa, sometimes called star-shaped, which is recorded in a number of Buddhist sites in Gandhara, in Kashmir, and in Western and Eastern Central Asia, as I will show you in a moment. Orlstein's diggings concentrated on the southwestern and southern parts of the wall for a total length of 48 meters and revealed both on the inner and on the outer face of the wall an uninterrupted sequence of clay sculptures consisting of large-size images of standing Buddhas or Bodhisattvas, colossal images, as Stein, in Stein's words, large-size 2.5 to 3 meters high images. Apart from large-size images, there were life-size and small-size images of standing Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and only one seated Buddha was spotted in the excavated area. Clay sculptures were also found on what remains of a very thin outer wall in the corner, in the lower corner. Preserved at the southwestern corner of the enclosure, which, according to Stein, might have served to create a covered gallery. According to Stein, some kind of roof must have protected the extremely fragile sculptures on the inner face of the wall as well. Overall, Stein brought to light 91 images. 20 years later, 39 more images were unearthed by Trinkler, who worked in the northern segment of the northwestern wall. As usual in the Gandharan and Central Asian area, the sculptures were modeled on a wooden frame and fastened to the wall through wooden pins, but almost all wooden elements have disappeared because of the moisture of the soil. Many sculptures preserved traces of whitewash and colors. Furthermore, the sculptural program was completed by painting. I hope there is, yes, you can see some faint traces of Buddhas standing. There are also seated Buddhas, as well as some lay figures, lay personages, as I will show you in a moment. Neither Stein nor any other after him could find remains of monastic structures, possibly connected with this sacred area. Now, chronology. Stein was very cautious about chronology. The Rawak Vihara should be dated, he wrote, somewhere between the 4th and the 7th centuries. The terminus postquem, the first term, is given by the absence of Kharoshthi documents in the site, whereas the terminus antequem by the lack of Tang coins, of Chinese coins of the Tang period. Nonetheless, he declares to prefer the beginning of this time lapse, mainly because of a patent Gandharan imprint he noticed in a substantial number of colossal images, particularly a naturalistic treatment of drapery. He also noticed that many images were treated in a different style. Therefore, we have to imagine two subsequent stylistic groups. Stein didn't want to give precise indications about the temporal distance between these these two groups. But he admitted, and this is very wise of him, that the distance could not have been too long given the extreme fragility of the medium employed, clay, unbaked clay. As to numismatic finds, they almost exclusively consist of Wuju specimens, the traditional Han currency, which, as Stein reminded, remains in use for many centuries, as late as the Tang period, and as it is now known, even later than the Tang period. Marilyn Rhee detects in the Rawak sculptures no less than six stylistic groups distributed between the early 4th century and the first half of the following century, the 5th century. Her analysis and the subsequent classification is largely based on comparisons of single iconographic or stylistic elements for which she finds parallels in an extremely wide artistic landscape. In the chronological span deriving from her discussion, as I said, 4th to mid 4th centuries, the Rawak stupa can also be easily accommodated, as she spots its models in the stupa, in the stupa known as Toperustam at Balkh in Afghanistan, and in the in another similar stupa at Pamala in Taxila in North Pakistan. She relies on the dates proposed by Alfred Fouché and John Marshall, respectively. But as we will see in a while, these dates are now rejected. Gerd Grop, who gave a very accurate description of Trinkler's materials, proposed a later date, the 6th century, mainly based on his analysis of a mural, this one, showing a lay male figure in tunic, trousers, and boots, and an unusual hat. The date is inferred from the strong stylization of his face on the one hand, and from his costume, in particular the curved lower hem of the tunic, which can be seen, as Grop remarks, in Sogdian iconography, namely in the Afrasiab paintings, which, however, date from the 7th century, mid-7th century. That on the right is a... I think that Grop was thinking about this, these three figures with the curved hem of the dress. Grop's arguments are perhaps too vague, too generic. At any rate, they leave unsolved the riddle of the strange hat wore by this male figure. For which I haven't still found any parallels, any convincing parallels. At any rate, Grop states that the date suggested by the mural serves as an indication for the chronology of the whole site. Therefore, Rawak dates from the 6th century. I deem Grop's proposal more acceptable, but not for the arguments he brings forward. I think there are reasons that Rawak can't be dated to the 4th, 5th centuries, as I'm going to show you. This is not the result of a systematic analysis of the site and of the sculptures. This is rather an invitation to myself or to anybody else to reanalyze, to reconsider this fascinating site in a different perspective. A later date for the Rawak stupa is perhaps the Rawak stupa is perhaps the easiest point to make. As I said, the typology to which this monument belongs can be described as an augmented version of the cruciform stupa, of which we have now a substantial set of evidence in Central Asia and in the Gandharan area. To begin with, we find a stupa with the same plan, but of a much smaller size, at Farhad Begye Laki, southeast of Rawak, in the same area. but very seldom mentioned in literature, which was dated by Stein somewhere within the 6th century, not beyond the 6th century, because there are no tank coins in the site. This was the criterion applied by Stein. Among the most monumental in size, the main stupa in the Ajina Tepa Monastery in northern Turkestan, today Tajikistan, is to be mentioned, dating from the 7th to mid-8th centuries on very good grounds. At Ajina Tepa we also find smaller or miniature replicas of the same model, stupa model, in chapels, as well as in the courtyard. Same for Hisht Tepa. Hisht Tepa is in northern Turkestan as well, in Tajikistan, north-east of Ajina Tepa, where we find several replicas of the same stupa type in smaller or miniature versions. To the same family there is a number of them, the small stupas in the Buddhist monastery of Tapasardar near Ghazni in Afghanistan, dating from the 7th, 8th centuries. In Kashmir, we have the so-called Chankuna stupa, at Parihaspur, the Chankuna stupa made of stone blocks and dating to the second quarter of the 8th century. With regard to this monument that we see in a depiction in a painting at Alchi, in the Sumtek at Alchi, that should be the representation of the Chankuna stupa, which was held as a very important model for stupas in Tibet as well. It is appropriate to remark that his patron, Chankuna, prime minister of the Karkota king Lalita Aditya, was a man from Tokharistan, from the region where the Ajina Tepa and Hisht Tepa stupas are located. Now, a more recent... Okay, there is also a similar stupa, a similar cruciform or star-shaped stupa in Ushkar, which is close to Parihaspur in Kashmir again. But now, a more recent discovery in Bamiyan, excavated more or less 20 years ago, I think, by Tarzi, is the Eastern Monastery, where we have a courtyard with a main square-based stupa flanked on the east and west sides by two smaller cruciform stupas, the number 3 and number 4. You can see a photograph of the stupa number 5, not 4. As to Gandhara proper, it seems that the old theories on the date of major cruciform or star-shaped stupas are to be dismissed. Shoshin Kuwayama has reconsidered the development of Gandharan stupas with cruciform plan, traditionally dated to the 4th, 5th centuries, proposing a date in the 6th, 7th centuries. Now I hope, yes, this is the Bahmala stupa, for example, as well as several others. So this should date from the, should be attributed to the 6th, 7th centuries. In the wake of Kuwayama, Paul Bernard re-examined the Toperostam at Balkh, and according to Bernard, the Toperostam as well cannot be earlier than the 6th, 7th centuries. So we must consider a much later date, instead of the 4th, early 5th century, as Alfred Fouché thought. Now, after this overview, the Toperostam is this one, yes. After this overview on Central Asian, Gandharan and Kashmiri stupas showing the specific plan and shape we see at Rawak, it seems to me unreasonable to go on thinking that the Rawak stupa dates from the 4th or 5th centuries. We are not in a position to tell when the stupa was founded and what did it look like at the beginning, if it underwent changes and how many times, but in its final stage, as it appeared to Stein and the other, and to Trinkler, in its final stage, the Rawak stupa is plausibly to be dated between the 6th and the 8th century. Now, a few remarks on the sculptures starting from the from their arrangement in the sacred area. To begin with, to my knowledge, at least to my knowledge, in Xinjiang there are no Buddhist sites with a layout matching what we see at Rawak. A central focus, in this case a stupa, surrounded by a continuous row, because we have to imagine that the rows was uninterrupted along the whole perimeter, of large size images, along with smaller images. We have instead comparable evidence in Afghanistan, although on a reduced scale. Just a couple of words about this slide. The dots you see in different colors, the red dots are larger, colossal images. So this is the most represented type. Then we have small size are the green dots, and medium size, life size, orange. I might have chosen more contrasted colors, maybe. But and we have also three exceptions. This light blue dots are miracles, representation of the Buddha emanating smaller Buddhas in the space, in the halo. I'll show you in a while. So we have instead comparable evidence in Afghanistan. No. I think I have to go back to in Afghanistan, but I can't see the slide I need. Ah, yes, this one. Yes, I'm thinking of Tepe Narenj, south of Kabul. These are the chapels of the fifth terrace, in particular the chapel 4, which is the latest of the whole group, with a central platform and a row of large clay images of standing Buddhas, the majority of which are almost completely lost, apart from the feet and the lower part of the dress, and heads, of course. And there is one almost whole figure collapsed on the floor. There are 16 large images of standing Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, 2.5 to 3 meters high, the same size as at Rawak. Along with those, there are also some life-size sculptures, possibly placed on a higher level and preserved in fragments. It is not clear what the central podium was meant for, but it probably was the base for a portable statue of the Buddha. An even closer correspondence is shown by the courtyard of the Eastern Monastery at Bamiyan. Now, yes, look at the courtyard, the square courtyard, in which we have already noticed the presence of two cruciform stupas, like the one in Rawak. We have a large central stupa and then an uninterrupted row of large standing Buddhas, standing Buddhas in clay sculptures. And now some remarks on style and iconography. To begin with, naturalism, or Gandharan naturalism, which is a major criterion in Stein's interpretation and above all in Marilyn Rees' analysis of Rawak sculpture. Just a moment. Okay. I think one should be more cautious in this kind of stylistic evaluations. A more or less naturalistic rendering of figures or drapery can hardly be used as reliable evidence of an early date, since a variable amount of naturalism is largely detectable in late Gandharan or post-Gandharan clay sculpture. In other words, naturalism can lead to serious misunderstandings. Furthermore, as Stein remarked, the Rawak are permeated with Gandharan naturalism, but the shape of the body beneath the robe, I quote, is in these statues displayed in a more pronounced fashion than in the Gandharan sculptures referred to. And he referred to some sculptures from Takhti Bahi, that means stone reliefs from the Kushan period. In fact, The more pronounced fashion in which the bodies are displayed is a peculiar trait of Buddha images of the Gupta period. This is a statue for a relief from Mathura. As is the stylized rendering of drapery in different variants that we detect in many Rawak colossal sculptures. The Gupta component, however, is unlikely to have been introduced into Eastern Central Asia through direct contact with Mathura, or any other major center of the Gangetic Valley. It is wiser to think of an intermediation through the workshops of the area between Afghanistan, the Hindu Kush, and Kashmir, where a blending of Gandharan and Gupta styles is a well-established fact. And furthermore, at Rawak, we can notice a development of this mode of representation of the human body, which is further emphasized in a number of sculptures, either colossal or life-size, or smaller size. We see very broad shoulders, narrow waist, and again broad thighs. This is a typical late Gupta and post-Gupta rendering of the human shape, which is recorded in northeastern India, for instance, suffice it to mention this famous bronze from Sultanganj in Bihar, but also in the northwest of the Indian subcontinent, as far as the Hindu Kush and Buddhist sites like Fundukistan, or in the Gilgit area and Kashmir. Also, the strong resemblance in the rendering of faces, along with many other details, shows that the upper Indus Valley, where Gilgit is situated, in Kashmir, must have been a major source of inspiration for the Rawak artists. In this regard, an exceptional finding deserves to be mentioned, a bronze sculpture found in the Domoko area, in the Khotan area. A bronze sculpture of the Buddha seated in Dharmachakra Mudra on a lotus blossom, resting on a throne, and the throne bears a Sanskrit inscription in Proto-Sharada script. This artifact, which was found in 1989 in the Domoko area, southeast of Rawak, has recently been extensively commented upon by Erika Forte, and before her by Oscar von Hinüber with regard to the inscription. Von Hinüber fixed the terminus posquem in the 7th century on paleographic grounds. And apart from this, he detected names known from inscriptions from the Gilgit area, that is from the reign of the kingdom, the Palolashahi. Thanks. As Erika Forte points out, Erika Forte is very present in this. the question about whether the Buddha of Domoko was directly imported from Gilgit or Kashmir or some neighboring area, or through contacts with Tibet, where Buddhist bronze sculptures from Kashmir and Gilgit were collected during the 7th and 8th centuries, remains unanswered. The question remains unanswered, but is worth being considered. Now, my last remark will be on the. We can skip this ivory. There were also ivories from Kashmir and Gilgit, which are very good means for the transmission of iconographies. Now, my last remark is on this kind of iconographies. We have three cases in Rawak. That is standing Buddhas encircled by a flaming halo containing either rows of smaller standing Buddha images or, as in this case, much smaller images of seated Buddha within lotus blossoms. Whatever the correct iconological interpretation of such images, whether they represent the Buddha performing the miracle of Shravasti, the cosmological Buddha, or any other epiphanic or metaphysical manifestation, it is not my concern now. The iconographical scheme strongly reminds similar depictions of the Buddha in mural paintings of the Kucha or oasis, murals which belong to the so-called second style of Kucha painting. Now, the chronology of Kucha is not definitely settled, but by common consent, the second style approximately covers the second half of the 6th century approximately and the first half of the 7th century. To sum up, it seems clear to me, at least, that Rawak is a link. Yes, this is a cosmological Buddha. That Rawak is a link in the chain joining the Buddhist centers of Tokharistan, Hindu Kush, the Gandharan area, the upper Indus Valley, Kashmir, and the southern Tarim Basin between the 6th and the 8th centuries. Thank you. Finished.
Thank you so much for keeping to the time and wonderful talk. We'll take about 3 questions. Yes.
You mean base, lotus base? Maybe just in some cases, in for smaller images, they have some sort of bracket.
It's very strange that huge monument.
No, but I thought you asked about lotus flower, about lotus pedestals. No. But they were fixed to the, they were stuck to the wall by means of a wooden framework. I know, excuse. That's how we were saying.
Oh, sorry, just.
Northeastern India, but also in what's the name of that in Bangladesh, Paharpur. Yeah, yes, but you know this is a typical late development, late complication. I mean, this is something which you can detect in Buddhist architecture, in the stupa, as well as in the Hindu temple. This is a very, there are very similar. Progress of the complication of the plant. We have also star-shaped Hindu temples with the there is an increased number of these projections. So there are many similarities, but it is something very late. This is the main point. It didn't occur in the 4th century, neither in Hindu architecture nor in Buddhist architecture. Yes, Divyavadana talks about what we may call the cruciform plan with a square base and 4 flight steps. But this is nothing for us, this is not enough, because we have to find references about the more complicated plan with a star-shaped. In any case, even if Divyavadana speaks of a star-shaped stupa, this is no reason to date all monuments to the presumed date of Divyavadana. That is just an indication. That is a written source, but we can't think that all monuments matching the description of Divyavadana are to be dated to the 4th century. In any case, the Divyavadana doesn't describe this kind of stupa. Stating that, what exactly? 4 steps. Yes, but here the point is not are not the 4 steps. Star-shaped, correct.
We take the last question, perhaps another.
Yeah, thank you. This is not the main point of your presentation, I think, but in one of your slides, I saw a seated figure with
yes.
Ah,
in the painting.
Yeah,
yes, yes, yes. This is also. Yeah, I didn't. I don't have time to. I have to skip many details. But okay, I know. Yes, this is a very typical way of representing a flaming Buddha or even flaming monks
yeah,
in
yeah.
Kucha with yeah. this kind of triangles.
Without a monk,
You think it may be...
I'm not sure, I'm just asking.
Sorry. No, but I think it's a Buddha. You see the Ushnisha.
Ah, okay.
And the Nimbus.
Yeah.
But Gelgrop thinks he is flying, a flying Buddha, which is not. These are not wings, he thinks. Flügel. Yes, but a lot. But with this geometrical outline, above all in Kucha.
Huh? It could be not wings, it could be only behind a sort of prune or something.
No, I don't think they are wings. I am just reporting what get dropped. So I think they are flames.
So
you think it's wrong?
I'm very sorry. Since we are running out of time, thank you so much, knowing that within 30 minutes you can't say everything. So it was a wonderful paper.